The Inspired Sorter podcast is brought to you by Onnit.com. That's O-N-N-I-T.com. They make all kinds of different supplements that can help you out. Alpha Brain to help you think better, help you process information better in your brain muscle. Shroom Tech Sport, Shroom Tech Immune, and New Mood, all of which are all natural supplements that can help every bit of your life. Go there, and if you want to save 10% on your order, type in the coupon code INSPIRED, and you will save a little bit of money, and a little bit of money will go our way to help out this podcast. So let's just get this shiznit started.
Welcome to the Inspired Disorder Podcast. Rebel podcasts inspired by life, love, stress, and setbacks. With your hosts Ray Taylor and Justin King. Disorder starts now.
All right. Dude, so many goddamn technical problems getting this shit started tonight. How you doing, Justin?
I'm doing good, man. I see you fucking live right now. Mm-hmm. You stream.tv, channel Inspired Disorder, all that. I see you.
That's right. Inspireddisorder.com/live. So we both have been doing some website type stuff. Right? Yes, I updated the store on inspireddisorder.com, kind of cleaned some shit up, and you've been doing a project for school?
I have been, yeah. Basically, the final project of my class, which is worth only 80% of my grade, is basically, registering a domain online, one, and two, you know, coding out a website that works, 10 pages, that's it. And it doesn't need to be like super intense, but it has to use CSS. Mm-hmm. So, style sheets come into play. And, of course, you have to design the thing in Photoshop first. It's all the details. But basically, I'm working on my first actual like website from scratch is what I'm doing right now. And I'm about 60% of the way done so far, 70% maybe.
Yeah.
It's due Wednesday. So I got a lot of work to do still, but. It's pretty crazy going through the motions and just kind of learning what things do and the order of how to put things and kind of how the structure of the web really is, basically it's like building blocks and you're stacking them and adjusting the width of those blocks. And it's a trip, bro. So, yeah.
I've had my time doing websites from scratch until you do it, especially if you're used to, used to having more of an elaborate website. It is crazy how much work goes into it, like as far as just planning, and then like how many different pieces of the puzzle. Like you want a graphic up at the top, but you have to like create the graphic in like Photoshop or Illustrator or something like that, and then make it to the size. And there's like so many different pieces to that puzzle.
It's an insane puzzle. I mean, it's basically one small little keystroke that is not where it's supposed to be and the whole thing doesn't work, so.
Yeah, totally.
It is crazy.
It is crazy and it is annoying, at least
for me. But it's also very rewarding. I mean, once you do kind of figure out the process, it's all mental dues you have to pay to really get a hang of the whole deal, just like most things in the digital realm. But, once you do start figuring it out and you can, identify the problem and solve it, It's pretty rewarding, so there is some benefits to the arduous process that web design really is. And, once you get fast too, you can always copy and paste and just adjust small little elements and, it becomes easier basically. But right now, the stage I'm at, it's all pretty new to me still. And, I've had experience using Squarespace and sites like that. So I took this class I'm actually in right now about 6 years ago, which it was, of course, radically different back then. What was I trying to say from that whole thing?
How rewarding doing web design.
Yeah, it's rewarding at the end because, you start to kind of see code as like, I don't know, it's weird. It's almost like, you know how in The Matrix when the code's coming down in front of the guy and he's like, you know, all I see is brunettes and blondes and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
It's almost like it kind of starts to happen like that in a way where it's like you start seeing like what the code actually does in a browser as you go along. You know, it's...
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
It's crazy, man. Yeah, reading code is kind of like, in some way, like reading music. Like, I can look at a sheet of music and I don't really know what the fuck's going on. But looking at code, because I've gone through it and done a lot of stuff with like HTML and shit like that, you can kind of break it down, kind of understand it a little bit. Like, at least you may not get every single thing, you don't necessarily understand every single thing that's going on in the code, but it definitely helps you get kind of knowing a little bit of Spanish, and you hear people talk, you get like words here and there. That's what it's like for me looking at like HTML code and shit like that. But it's definitely rewarding. It's definitely a good skill. I mean, are you doing your website from scratch, just code, or are you using software like whatever the Adobe? I don't think it's still called Dreamweaver.
It is Dreamweaver.
Is it? Are you using that, or are you just doing code?
It's all by hand, basically. I'm using a program for Mac called Text Wrangler, which is a code editor/developer.
Yeah.
But it's basically only for typing the code out manually. But, you know, from doing projects in class, basically, I have the basics of the code already that I've done there. So I can copy and paste a lot of the elements and then just change the elements that I need to change, basically. So I'm not, you know, typing everything from scratch, but... yeah, we're not really allowed to be using the Dreamweaver and stuff like that yet, because that's all basically like, you know, term later on in the program, they'll be teaching us that kind of stuff. But
yeah,
my instructors told me a lot about Dreamweaver, and the code it writes sometimes is really sloppy. So if you can write the code yourself and get away with it, it's actually a lot more preferable to do it that way versus Dreamweaver, because, you know, like I just said, it's a Dreamweaver. I mean, writes the code, but it might not be all browser compliant, and it leaves a lot of gaps sometimes. So it's, you know, far from perfect from what my instructor says. I'll find that out firsthand here in a few months. So
yeah, that's probably where, because I never did everything longhand as far as that. I always used Dreamweaver. So that's probably why. Like, I didn't know enough of the code to know where my little... the bullshit was happening, where shit wasn't working right.
Yeah, I mean, Dreamweaver doesn't place the code into the HTML for you, too. You know, it's like you got to know where to place it, like you just mentioned, you know, for it to...
Well, it does. I mean, it's, you know, it will... It's good software. Like, you'll be very happy to use that, because, like, instead of just copying, pasting things here and there, it's... I mean, that's what that stuff is. It's all built in, like drag and drop, WYSIWYG type editing. But it'll definitely help you out to be able to, like, if something's not working, be able to just go. Like, you can have the dual view where one screen is the what it will look like website, like the preview, and the other one will be just raw code. So when you're doing stuff, you can see how things are actually showing up. So you'll do good once you get there. I mean, you're getting the basis for it, which I never really did. I just kind of learned Dreamweaver. So I was kind of an ignorant web designer doing it.
Definitely. I think Dreamweaver, I mean, yeah, I've played around with it a little bit, and I can tell it's going to be awesome once I get to fully exploit it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like you said, it's good to know like the foundation of how everything works too before you kind of get into that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've also discovered a lot of websites that help out in generating the type of effects you want. Like, I'm trying to do like a ribbon design on my site.
Yeah.
You know, where you can see the banner kind of wrap around things. I'm going to have like the navigation bar kind of wrap around the back of the content. And I found this ribbon generator online. And, you know, you basically tell the specifications of your area, you tell the color, you know, the whole deal, basically specify. And it generates the code, and you just copy and paste it into your CSS and HTML. And boom, it actually, I got it to work. Boom goes the dynamite.
Boom. Yeah. I've used so many of those sites that are like either tutorial sites, or it's like it'll build the code for you. Like, that's what I use a lot with kind of I bastardize it a lot. Like when I set up the store on my website, inspiresorder.com/store, I used because the merch, like all the t-shirts and stuff, is sold through Zazzle, and they have like their own, you can kind of set up flash stores or just get code to like share, like they have a little tools for people that want to sell their merchandise on how to like set up something. But I know enough about HTML and code that I knew what parts to grab to put in so I can use it for my website instead of just implementing their cookie cutter thing, which usually that shit's pretty ugly. I did the same thing with Etsy, which I'm selling my original art pieces through. But yeah, it's nice to know exactly what you want to do, and especially like if you're going through one of those builder sites, when you go to copy and paste the code, you can look inside that code and see, like, even if it's something as simple as just dimensions, you can look in that code and change the dimensions. I do that all the time with video, but you know, most people, if they've never looked at code before, going in and tweaking this or that is kind of scary, I'm sure.
Definitely.
You know,
well, I mean, the main reason why I'm doing this, I mean, web design, you know, to be honest with you, web design and this, the intricacy of writing code in general is kind of like, I don't know, it's almost like left brain stuff, or yeah. Whereas, you know, most artists are right brain people.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard for me to adjust. A lot of it's so mathematical, which I hate math also. So like the odds are against me in this whole thing. But it's clicking actually a lot faster than I expected it to. And, I don't know. Like I said earlier, it's fun kind of to like be able to solve that problem and fix it and hit, you know, figure that shit out basically.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot of money in it too. That's the main reason why I'm going to school for it. You know, it's, we're living in a digital realm, and you know, before this class, you know, all I was really familiar with was the world of print media, mm-hmm. you know, and, and print media will be around forever. It's never going to die completely.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the market for print media, print designers, I should say, is getting smaller and smaller every year, you know. And, you know, most jobs, because I've been looking around since I lost my job a couple months ago. I've been looking around at, you know, random postings, of course, you know. And, you know, I would say about 90% of the jobs I see out there, they want somebody who, you know, it's like a one-stop shop. They want the graphic designer, the web designer. All that shit will end up into one, you know. Mm-hmm. So just to make myself more marketable, it's like I'm kind of realizing that if I want to stay relevant and work in this industry and make good money in this industry, it's almost a necessity for a designer nowadays to at least know a little bit of code, at least a couple classes worth, you know. Yeah,
for sure. Are you learning Flash at all, or HTML5?
From what I hear later on, I mean, this is all kind of like, you know, hearsay at this point.
Yeah.
But I hear they're going to focus more on HTML5 versus Flash. They're kind of rewriting some of the classes at that point to focus more on HTML5
mm-hmm.
because, of course, the market's starting to swing that way. Flash is, you know, proprietary software. It's Adobe software. It's free, but you still have to go and download and install that software and update that software, which is a whole lot more complex than just it being open source code, which is what HTML5 is, you know. Yeah. So
and
from what I hear, it's going to be HTML5 geared or cool. focused. I want to get to that point. So I'm actually stoked because, you know, it's going that way from what it looks like. Uh-huh. Apple might have had something. So. Yeah.
Well, I've worked with Flash too, and the programming language is totally different. I mean, there's different things you can do with Flash. You can do more of like a traditional animation type Flash, where if you've ever done any animating, it's pretty easy to set something up. But then the one thing with Flash is it's so bulky, man. It's like file size wise. What's that?
Is it memory intensive too? Doesn't it take up a lot of the RAM?
It can, yeah. But it's also just optimizing it for the web. It's like so heavy, you know. I mean, one thing with the web designing, you want to. I mean, if you're doing any multimedia stuff, obviously images you want like small, but people have pretty fast internet connections. So, you know, as far as that is not as huge a concern as it used to be. But like if you're doing video and audio, you want to like maximize or minimize the amount of, you know, size has to be streamed. Yeah. And Flash, you know, taking care of like so much of that, it's really heavy and there's problems. So that's cool that they're going to go, hopefully they go to HTML5. So at least it'll be, I'm assuming it would be similar like program language that you've been using in general rather than trying to learn something new.
Yeah, it's from what I've seen, because my instructor's actually been kind of introducing us to HTML5, like the basic elements, and it simplifies a lot of stuff as mm-hmm. far as being able to call out certain elements and select certain elements. It like kind of streamlines a lot of that. And like, for example, like the top of the document usually has like the type of HTML you have to list mm-hmm. and for multiple browsers to be able to communicate. And that's usually like a 10 line long thing where it's like doc type HTML, da 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 da. Like yeah. V language, this and that, like all kinds of crazy shit. Whereas HTML5 is just doc type HTML. That's it. Yeah. That's like the tag for HTML5. So just as an example, it just kind of simplifies the whole thing down. Mm-hmm. And you can do a lot of the animations, if not, I think most all of them that you can do in Flash, you can use in HTML5 and incorporate using, you know,
yeah.
crazy tags and, you know, descriptions and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a trip, man.
That's cool. Definitely will make it easier and less of a hassle, especially like there's still some stuff that's in Flash, and I've ran into this working on my website, where when we started doing the podcast again, there's a thing through the company that hosts the podcast, where it's like a video, but we weren't doing video and I don't upload video, so it's just like a still image with our audio playing under it. But there was Flash, so, you know, you couldn't get it on your iPhone or iPad or, you know, most of the mobile devices, I'm sure. But so it like makes you, okay, it's like, how else can I get this to work on? 'Cause you want to make sure your shit works on as many devices as possible.
Exactly.
I mean, if your website only works on a computer, then you're fucked. 'Cause there's a lot of people, more now than ever, that are, you know, going to websites either on their cell phone or on like a tablet device. And, you know, even Adobe stopped supporting Flash for mobile devices. So right there, they're like, okay, well, we're never going to get on, you know, iPad or iPhone. And most of the tablets where they're like Flash enabled, it's, you know, it's not the amount of content that people think they're getting, you know. So
for sure.
But yeah, fucking that's cool, man.
Yeah. HTML5, if you just type in like HTML5 animation examples or something like that into Google, you'll see what it's capable of. It's trippy.
Yeah.
You know, Apple kind of went out there when they first, you know announced that they were going to run Flash on their devices, but you know, it's starting to kind of all make sense once you see what HTML5 can really do, you know. Yeah. And just the fact of the matter is, it's not software you have to go and upgrade to keep working right. It's open source code that's just your browser reads. So yeah. Easier to use for, you know, for the user itself, himself, herself, and also the designer. So
yeah, for sure. More simplification.
Simplification more all around.
Yeah. So I just got done watching the fights from last Friday, I think. Or Saturday, yesterday.
Yep.
Retarded. They're kind of boring. It was the second UFC on Fox.
That's what I heard. Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to watch him. I was busy helping a friend move pretty much all day yesterday.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I heard also on Twitter and other places, other venues, was that they're sort of boring. There wasn't really a standout fight.
Yeah. So. I mean, they only showed on the Fox card, which is all I saw. There was only three fights. And all three of them went to a decision. And, I mean, they weren't, like, horrible fights. But there wasn't, like, anything spectacular. I mean, the first fight, it was Chris Weidman versus Damian Maia. And I guess Chris Weidman got it he got the call, like, 11 days before the fight. So he did not have a lot of time to you know, cut weight. So he gassed pretty early. Damian Maia, which no reason. I mean, he was, you know, knew he was fighting, just his opponent changed. But he gassed like probably halfway through the second round. So by the end, by the third round, it was just two really tired guys trying to fight each other. But Chris Weidman ended up winning that one. The second fight was Chael Sonnen versus Michael Bisping. And if you've never heard Chael Sonnen do like a post-fight or a pre-fight interview or done any special events, he is like the most entertaining shit talker ever in the UFC. I should have pulled.
Rogan put some on Twitter that like his post-fight speech was like the craziest marketing he's ever seen live on the UFC or something like that.
Yeah, he's the one. Not this fight, but the one before this, he fought. But anyway, his last fight, his post fight was like epic. It was against Brian Stann. His post fight was just totally epic and like the most craziest shit talker. I mean, he fought Anderson Silva for the belt before Brian Stann and was dominating the entire fight. Very end, fourth round, like a minute and something, minute and change left. Anderson Silva catches him in a triangle choke from his back. But Chael Sonnen like dominated the hell out of that fight, and he talks so much shit about Anderson Silva. He even brought like a fake belt into the pre-fight interviews.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So he had like the fake, you know, UFC belt, and he's entertaining as fuck, and he usually proves it. But he fought Michael Bisping. Michael Bisping's been doing fucking awesome. And I dropped my phone. But it was just like they kind of canceled each other out a little bit, but there wasn't really anything spectacular. A lot of people think Michael Bisping should have won the decision, which I kind of agree with. I wasn't paying that much attention to, you know, really score it myself, but it's just, you know, just boring fights. And the final fight, Phil Davis versus Rashad Evans. Phil Davis hasn't really fought anybody big, but he was undefeated going into this fight. And Rashad Evans, I started watching him on the Ultimate Fighter TV show, which he started out in heavyweight, which he was obviously too small for. And he was really boring then because he primarily was just a wrestler. He's gotten a lot better, but I don't know. He's just fucking annoying, man. But he ended up pulling out a victory. Actually, he pretty much won that fight. Phil Davis, his feet looked slippery as hell. Like, he would be going in to strike or shooting for a takedown, and his feet were, like, sliding all over the mat. So I don't know if that was part of it, or just the fact that he's never really faced anybody at that high caliber. But it was pretty disappointing. Rashad Evans... He didn't finish it. It went to a decision, but he didn't look very spectacular. So he's supposed to be fighting John Bones Jones next. Rashad didn't really show anything. Like, he's the fights that he's had, he catches guys. But maybe, you know, if you don't get caught, then that'll kind of expose. And they both look pretty tired by the end of the fight. It went five rounds, but yeah. So it was pretty. It's not very exciting. I mean, it was nice to see who John Jones is going to fight next, and he was.
That's what I was looking forward to finding out too, because John Jones is cray cray.
Yeah, your mic is kind of doing the little robotic thing, but
Shit! All right, hold on.
It's like off and on, but yeah. So Rashad Evans should be good against John Jones. The main event, the Rashad Evans versus Phil Davis. Everybody was talking about Chael Sonnen versus Michael Bisping. So even the fight itself, pre-fight, there wasn't a lot of hype behind it. But you know, whatever. It happens. A lot of the times, like, the fights where you don't know who the fuck is on the card, like, you don't recognize any of the names, sometimes those are the most exciting cards ever. At least it was better. The first UFC on Fox was the heavyweight bout versus Cain Velasquez versus Junior Dos Santos. And that was the only fight, and the fight ended in like a minute and a half.
And the rest was talking. I know, it was fucking bullshit.
Yeah. And you know, Dana White keeps saying that, you know, it wasn't part of the initial deal, it was something extra they threw in. But as a fan, having to, you know, you go to watch a fight and you expect, because you've always watched UFC and there's always a full fight card and it's always entertaining because it's a full fight card. And that's one of the best things, that it's, you know, you're not just going for the main event. You're going for all the, you know, undercard events and preliminary fight, you know, that happen to get thrown in. And all it was the main event, and it was super disappointing. So it's like you show up to go watch the fight. I went to a sports bar to go watch the fight, and it's like all of a sudden the main event's on. So it was a little disappointing, which I think is one of two major missteps that the UFC has gone through recently. I mean, they're blowing up. I don't expect them to be very hurt from that mistake or what we're about to talk about. But at the same time, it's, you know, kind of two big missteps for the UFC, or at least Dana White. Because some crazy shit happened the other day. yeah, so there was a post. I don't know where this interview took place, but before the interview, Anonymous, which I would assume everybody listening would know who Anonymous is, but if you don't, they're basically a hacker group. Well, I think part of them is a hacker group, but they're also connected with protesters and organizing protests all around the world. But one of their main sources of strength is the internet. And since they have a lot of, you know, geek hacker guys, or, you know, they're connected with a lot of hackers, they're able to, they have a lot more freedom to do whatever the fuck they want on the internet. Actually, there's a documentary about the Anonymous. So I'm just gonna play. I'm gonna play that real quick.
Okay.
Let's start out with that. So it's a documentary that's supposed to be coming out this year at some point. I don't know exactly when. But it's called "We Are Legion: The Story of Hacktivists," and it's about a documentary about Anonymous. So here we go. You can find it on YouTube.
The computer hacker group Anonymous is claiming tonight that it took down the website of the Federal Appeals Court in San Francisco this afternoon.
They took down Senate.gov servers. They've taken down HB Gary. Sony's claiming they did $150 million worth of damage.
So many confidential files that tonight, because of these hackers, can be in the hands of anyone.
Visa, MasterCard, the PayPal situation.
See, criminals who hacked into Sarah Palin's private email.
The Church of Scientology says Anonymous is a cyber terrorist group of religious bigots.
Anonymous and this other group called Lulz Sec. They seem to be wanting to prove a point.
Anonymous kind of was like the big, strong, buff kid who had low self-esteem. And then all of a sudden punched somebody in the face and was like, holy shit, I'm really strong. Anonymous calls itself the final boss of the internet, and sometimes it proves to be really fucking true. If you are going to violate the freedoms of the internet, you certainly better watch the fuck out.
They are kind of the rude boys of activism. There's a real rough edge to them, which I think also is one reason why they garner so much love and hate from people, too. They represent a certain sort of chaotic freedom.
The hacker ethos has a passion for truth. It wants what's real to be out there. And it uses kind of the Philip K. Dick definition of reality. And reality is that which, when you stop believing in it, refuses to go away.
stand for freedom. You stand for freedom of speech, the power of the people, the ability for them to protest against the government, to right wrongs. No censorship, especially online, but also in real life.
We have members throughout society and all stratas of it worldwide, yet we have no leadership.
It's one voice. It's not individual voices. That's why we don't show our faces. That's why we don't give our names. We're speaking as one, and it's a collective. Good timing.
So the FBI shows up at 6 in the morning and they drag me out into the cold and there's guns and a little LED flashlight in the vest. It was really obnoxious. If you so much as sneeze on someone's tablet and the government's not happy about it, then you're a hacker.
There's people that are dying for a flag and they're being lied to. And maybe it's time for a new law. If I get the chance to do that, then so be it. And if 14 other people that are with me get a chance to do it, then so be it.
You want to see Anonymous rise up? Try to shut down the message. Try to squash the message. Try to chill our speech. Then you'll see what Anonymous can do.
Right now, you could argue that the most powerful people on Earth are a bunch of nameless, faceless 17 to 35-year-olds. It's like the hacker ruling class, right?
It's my community. It's my culture. I identify with Anonymous.
Whether they had a tiny, tiny part, or whether they had a substantive part in the Arab Spring or toppling of Tunisia and Egyptian governments, individual, young, nameless, faceless folks are having geopolitical impact. It's both exhilarating to realize that and terrifying to realize that. It kind of depends on how that power is wielded.
We are Legion. We do not forget. Expect us.
So, that was the trailer for that fucking shit. Can't get my camera to go back on. Okay.
Epic.
Yeah.
Epic.
So, yeah, that was the trailer for We Are Legend or Legion. Something. Yeah. And so anyway, Anonymous has been one of their big things that they've been fighting against is the whole SOPA and PIPA and ACTA, all that crap that's going on to censor the internet. They've been shutting sites down left and right, and a week or two ago they defaced. Actually, I think they did shut down UFC.com or UFC.tv. One of the two sites they shut down, and it was during one of the playoff games, NFL playoff games, when this all was going on, and Dana White, people were blowing up on Twitter saying, you know, UFC's down, you know, tweeting at Dana White. And, you know, he replied that he didn't give a shit. He was watching the football game. Some people were pissed off because, you know, they didn't know for people that have ordered UFC fights online or purchase things through their store, their credit card information would be on the site. So they were concerned about that, and Dana White didn't seem to, in typical Dana White fashion, didn't really seem to give a shit. I think part of that was just the fact that I don't think he, you know, it's not up to him to, I'm sure the call was in to whoever is in charge of UFC.com to take care of the problem. So it's not like he could have done anything anyway. Or knew anything, I'm sure. So
I don't think he knows code.
Yeah. So, you know, he kind of just answered in his own Dana White fashion. And then this, what I'm going to play next, is an interview with Dana White by Ariel Helwani. He's talking about the upcoming fights that just happened, the ones that we were just talking about, UFC on Fox 2. But he was also asked about, the website going down or UFC going down. So I'm going to play that right now.
Back to the fights. A lot of people were upset on Twitter. You were saying, I'm watching football. My website is hacked. People said my credit card info is on the site. You don't care. What's going on? What do you say to those people?
Yeah, people said my website, it's what it was is you had all these people that are part of this whole internet thing that's going on that were doing that. You're not going to play games with me. I'm not going to play games with you people. You know, these guys went in and hacked our website. They moved our URL. That's what they did. You know, first of all, the system that we have set up at UFC is very good, you know, for people. But there's guys out there. These internet guys are geniuses. These guys are hacking government websites. You know, this stuff's going to happen. And no, nobody's stuff was compromised. But again, I just had this conversation earlier. You know, you have a lot of people, including yourself. And yes, I will call you out and all the other journalists that are terrified of the media, of the internet. They're terrified of the internet.
What makes you say that?
It's a fact. I've dealt with it for the last 10 years with you guys. Guys are terrified of the internet. But don't feel bad.
But based on what? I'm just curious.
There's senators and lots of other people that are terrified of the internet.
What would we be scared of? We work on the internet. What would we be scared of?
You're scared of the
people?
Of the people. You're absolutely afraid.
But based on what?
Of the people. Don't play games. You know you are. You are, and all the other guys that were standing here today are terrified of the internet. I'm not. I'm not afraid of the internet. It's a place where cowards live. Okay, and the way that this whole thing has gone down, them hacking our site was the best thing they could have ever done for us, because what that does is now you look like terrorists, and now a lot of people that were afraid of you now hate you. You know, there's a way. Is this bill perfect? No bill is perfect.
You mean the SOPA and PIPA?
So no bill is perfect. This thing, I think this thing started off with the right idea. You know, stealing is stealing. If you walk into a store and you steal a watch, or if you steal a pay-per-view, it's still stealing. But there's this whole generation that grew up when everything is free on the internet, you know, and they don't want to see that change. And I understand that. I get it. But it's not right. There's something that needs to be worked out that works for everybody, whether it's the UFC stealing pay-per-views, stealing people's songs, the artists, whether it's movies or whatever it might be. There's an answer to fix this. Is this bill perfect? And I see people like that on Twitter and stuff, people who get it and say the same thing, and I agree with them. And I've never talked about this before. But, you know, you brought up the whole hacking thing. All these hackers and all these guys that want to act cool on you know, and think funny, you guys just flipped the switch. And believe me, I have a lot more information on what's going on than you do. And, you know, this bill that looked like was going to be dead, you might have brought it back to life with the way that
you may have revived it.
They might have revived it. Wow. Yeah, when you start acting like a terrorist, first of all, one thing is everybody gets the internet and everybody loves it and everybody has this thing and all these powerful people coming out and the internet saying, don't do this, don't do this. People were scared of that. But the minute you start acting like a terrorist, now you've pissed people off. Now you've made yourself look really, really bad. And it's going to be very interesting to see how this shakes out over the next year. But the bottom line is, and what I'm saying is, I'm not afraid of you. You don't scare me. You come in and you do it again. I don't care. You don't scare me, internet. You know, you don't. They always have this thing that you can't stop the internet. You can't stop the government. Okay? Anybody who fights the government loses. I don't care who you are or what you do or who you think you are, even the internet.
Two very quick things. You announced Jim.
So, Dana White, a little bit ignorant, extremely ignorant.
Just a bit.
I was thinking about that yesterday, and it reminded me of a time long, long ago, back in the ancient past of Napster and a small band of Metallica who had a smaller drummer named Lars Ulrich, and his ignorant view of Napster. And that's what Dana White sounds like, you know, but, you know, slightly more testosterone.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. From the get-go, he mentions that, you know, these guys are taking down government websites, is what he says.
Uh-huh.
And then he says, you don't fucking scare me. So, but you're You acknowledge that these guys are geniuses and they're taking down government websites, but they don't scare you because it's almost like you're saying that UFC.com is more impenetrable or less impenetrable than, say, you know, whitehouse.gov.
Yeah. Or the multiple government websites that have been taken down by Anonymous. Yeah.
I mean, these guys, like he said, I mean, it was a true statement. You know, these guys they do have the power to take down government websites. And that, if you can do something like that, break through their firewalls and et cetera, that is insane. I mean, you know, because the government's employing, of course, for that situation, of course, they're going to be employing the best of the best.
Yeah.
You know, and these guys are besting the best of the best. So
that's a lot of best words. Yeah.
It's a war. It's a constant war. You know,
it's it's like, okay,
being waged in cyberspace.
The internet is at this point, for the most part, the same all over the world, except for some countries, and hopefully not this country, but that's what those bills are trying to do. They're trying to, you know, turn us into, as far as what the internet you get in China is not the internet you get here. But someday they may be a lot more similar than you think. And to be Dana White in the UFC, they live in the real world, where they put on shows in arenas and sell pay-per-view, and they're on Fox, and they're on FX, and they were on Spike TV, and all those things. But they're stepping into, their website is on the internet, and the internet is its own community. You know, that it's a community of people that aren't, there's people from the US, there's people from Sweden, there's people from Germany, there's people from Africa, there's people from all over the world, in different countries on the internet, and the UFC has a little shop set up in their town. And you talk shit, it's like, then they fire back. And on the video feed, I've been showing some of the screenshots. I took some screenshots because I was following all of this on Twitter. They have their UFC .com in their glossary section, had the big Anonymous picture posted up, took over that page. Two of the UFC.tv pages were fucked up, and I think they were where you register or sign into your account. You know, one of which is a picture of, I don't think that's Dana White, that may be a fighter, but it's got the Anonymous mask on and Dana's my bitch on the shirt. So they kind of went after him. And then last night there was a big thing in Oakland, Occupy Oakland, where a bunch of people, like hundreds of people, protesters were arrested. So because there are bigger fish to fry than Dana White, Anonymous and its resources kind of focused more on shutting that shit down or covering that shit. You know, that's just a few days where the attention of Anonymous and its power was shifted to kind of show Dana White that, you know, he has no control. And there was, you know, one of the rumors, or what supposedly happened is that, right after that interview went live, Anonymous had released Dana White's like address, all his personal information, like address and social security number and all kinds of different personal shit about him. I never saw that. I didn't see that post on Twitter or whatever. But it's kind of like a fuck you to Dana White. It's like, you know what, you might have control in your little world, but in the internet, you're a little mouse fighting, you know, a giant colossus of people that have no leader. There's no organization. It's just a bunch of people doing shit in like a flock of birds. You know, there's no leader necessarily in a flock of birds, but somehow they're all able to fly in unison. But I found that was fucking crazy. Like I think I was at work when I first noticed that it was going off, and like, I'd never seen anything like that.
Yeah. You were the one who kind of brought it to light for me as far as the whole situation. I didn't know about that either. But yeah, it just goes to show. I mean, if you're going to call these people out, mm-hmm. like he did, basically, he called him out. He just said, like, hey, screw you guys. I'm not scared of you. And like you said, it's like he has a marketplace online. He exists in that realm. It's like, why'd you be making threats just saying, oh, the internet doesn't scare me? Like, well, there's a lot of people's personal information, and there's a lot of relevant data on the internet that can be obtained by these people if you talk shit, homeboy.
Yeah.
And that's what he did, and that's what they got from him, you know? So, I don't know. I guess, I guess the moral of the story is ask and you shall receive, I guess. I don't fucking know, so. It's a trip to watch, though, man. I mean, the whole anonymous thing, there's parts I agree with, some parts I disagree with, but overall, I'm glad that they're out there because at least they are sort of like a regulator for a lot of these things that are going on.
Yeah.
And a good source of information. And as far as just keeping the playing field even, you know, I'm glad they're out there. So as far as, like I said, if I don't agree with everything they stand for, 100%, you know, but as far as I think they are, you know, necessary in this world right now, especially with what's going on in the internet and the attacks on our rights that keep happening from our government, you know, it's just, it's crazy. It's good they're out there because, you know, basically what the government's been trying to do to us for the past couple of years is take away our rights, you know, little by little, you know, and if not take them away, modify them heavily, you know, to where the next step would be them being eliminated completely. Who knows? But that's what's been happening, you know, so.
Well, one thing I wanted to say, I mean, I agree with you. There's, you know, there's some things where it's like, I don't agree with, but there's a lot of shit. I mean, it does kind of hurt the cause to take down a website because that kind of just gives the corporations like, hey, look, this is what happens. If we don't have this kind of control, then, you know, these people are going to fucking hack into our website.
Well,
but,
I mean, they've already been branded terrorists, you know. So, I mean, as far as that goes, it's already happened.
Yeah. But, you know, it's the whole word of terrorists is that's a whole it. I think that's been used way too broadly. Like anytime you do any like basically instead of in like 5 years, if you get arrested for jaywalking, they'll call you a terrorist just because that's the term that scares people. Instead of like actually having terms for people to do certain things, like it's getting so much easier for our government and just kind of our public society to classify anybody doing anything wrong or breaking any kind of rule as a terrorist. Like if you're just a rebellious person by nature, like Steve Jobs didn't want to have a license plate on his car. Like in 5-10 years, if certain rules get passed, if you don't do certain things like that, maybe you're considered a terrorist. You know, it's like less and less the definition of terrorist keeps getting broadened to where like people that are just doing like a protester or a hacker, like all of a sudden hackers are terrorists. There's been hackers around forever. But the one thing that I wanted to mention when I was watching this interview and Dana White's it could have been a lot of stuff on Twitter because there's been a lot of back and forth with Dana White and anonymous people or just – it blew up. There was like all kinds of shit on Twitter. But he's acting like even if SOPA or PIPA or any of this shit gets passed, those are U.S. laws. The times that – as far as I know, anyway, I haven't done this personally, but from what I've heard, the way you get live fights online, you stream them from certain websites where you can get free live sporting events or live sporting events streamed, and you're not paying anything. There's a shitload of advertisement, but from what I've heard. Anyway, the majority of that shit is streamed overseas. Like, that never is streamed from U.S. soil. So it's somebody that gets there, it's like in you know, the UK or wherever, or Australia, they'll get their broadcast and stream it online. So a lot of that shit, a lot of the times when you find a free fight or free whatever, live sporting event online, that shit is streamed from a place outside of the US. So it's like, even if these laws pass, that's not going to stop these people outside of U.S. soil streaming these fights. So his argument right there is completely retarded because he's like punishing U.S. fans. He's being a fucking Lars Ulrich and he wants to, you know, criminalize the fans of the UFC, people that watch the fights for free, maybe because they can't afford it, but they're huge fans. And because they're huge fans, when they are able to pay for a t-shirt or a pay-per-view or go to a bar where they can watch it, they will, because they're such huge fans because they followed it, you know, from whatever means possible. You know, but he's taking kind of like the Lars Ulrich, let's sue everybody type of way. But instead of doing it individually, he wants the government to take care of it. But it's not even going to take care of the situation, because the people that are streaming it, I would think, would be more at fault than the people, you know, just like when you download music or a movie. It's like, I mean, the person downloading that shit, maybe, should be, you know, punished in some way. But the person that's serving that file out to billions of people, maybe they should be a little bit more, you know, in, you know, responsible for what the illegal action is. You know, it's like, it's freaking arresting somebody that just bought drugs versus the person that's selling the drugs, or versus the person that's making the drugs. But I don't like to use the drug analogy, because I think that's all fucking bullshit anyway. That's just, this is all bullshit. People criminalizing people for doing something that doesn't hurt anybody just because they're losing some money. Maybe they should do what, you know, iTunes came along and saved the music industry. They were bitching and moaning about downloads, and now they're fine, you know. And independent artists have a venue to where they can release shit, which they never had before. So it's like, maybe the UFC, they're pretty good at that. I mean, they're using the internet a lot, which, you know, it's kind of crazy that he called out the internet and called them all spineless, weak cowards or whatever. They're utilizing it a lot, but their business model is so, like, old school that, you know, if somebody doesn't have a lot of money and they want to fucking watch your fights because they're a huge fan, they're going to do it. I mean, and passing a law, even if these laws pass, the shit's still going to go on. It's just going to be a little bit more difficult.
Exactly. You know? It's not going to break the system. It's going to make it a little more difficult, but it's not going to break it.
Yeah.
You know, the hackers out there will always find a way. It's impossible to completely eliminate that aspect of the internet.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, I don't understand why Dana White doesn't adopt, say, like a streaming plan. I mean, UFC already has a badass new app for the Xbox and Xbox mm-hmm. Live, where you can access, like, fighter data. Like, everything's HD and super crisp and clean. It's awesome. And if they need to integrate something with that to where you can, like, say, stream a fight live for a reduced price. I mean, 50 yeah. bucks a pop for these fucking fights, I'm sorry.
That's the key.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. That, oh, good.
You know, offer up a, you know, because you can do 1080p streaming. I know UFC servers can do 1080p streaming out there. So, you know, but based off the connection, of course, but offer it up on Xbox Live for, like, say, I don't know. I'm not going to name a price right now, but offer it for cheaper than 50 bucks, basically, and offer that for Xbox Live people. Also offer it up on UFC.com, you know. I don't understand why they don't kind of look at their pricing and look at all the different venues they have that are already out there where they can distribute their product. And by reducing the price, actually making more money because they're tapping more markets, you know?
Yeah. Especially if they're doing it direct.
I'm sorry?
Especially if they're, like, selling it direct, like
exactly.
Louis C.K. type of model. Like, if they're going through their website, they're basically yeah. selling it direct, but it's still at, like, pay-per-view prices.
Oh, it'd be so easy on their app. I mean, like I was saying, they just released a UFC app for Xbox Live mm-hmm. Maybe 2-3 months ago tops. And it's, I mean, the interface is badass. It's crisp and clean. You can access, like I said, access fighter data, fights, like all kinds of stuff. Look at the upcoming card and look at fighter stats and all that shit. They could build something like that into that app right away. And, you know, of course, on Xbox Live, your account information is already stored, your credit card info, mm-hmm. when you buy Microsoft points. So they can just link into that and be like, do you want to pay using Microsoft points or something like that? And yeah. then say Microsoft and UFC get cut in, you know, like it's. This makes perfect sense to me. They already have the system already in place for that. And doing something similar for UFC.com would be, you know, just as easy for them.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't get it. I don't see where that is. Obviously, they have a badass cyber marketing, you know, campaign going as far as, like, their graphics, everything else. I mean, they got some talented people there at UFC.com. I just don't see is it Dana White making the final decisions on this shit? And that's why they're still stuck in this old model.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get it.
I think it's, I mean, it's him, and then it's also the Fertitta brothers, you know, so who knows? Like, I mean, just based on that interview, you could tell that, or at least for me, it didn't seem like he was very knowledgeable about, well, first, Anonymous. And then just second, like, you know, just he seemed pretty ignorant about the whole internet type of deal. You know, and he's very confrontational. He's like alpha male guy, wants to call him out or whatever. But
he says that, I mean, he calls them geniuses right in the, you know, when the clip first starts, the clip that you shortened up, you know, right off the bat, he calls them geniuses, and he says these guys are hacking government websites. So he obviously knows enough to know that, you know, these guys are good at what they do, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why he obviously knows that by going by what he said. So I just don't see why he would still threaten them, you know?
Yeah. I don't know either. It's Dana White. He says a lot of shit. Like, he gets fired up about shit, and I'm sure he was pissed. So I think that was just more of his hotheadedness kind of took over, and he's like, he realized that they're really, you know, smart, but at the same time, he thinks that he has the most badass plan for everything. You know, I'm sure, like, when he was saying, it's like, well, you think these bills are dead, but I think they just flipped the switch. It's, you know, that's, I think that's more of him thing. It's like, well, we have a ton of lobbyists trying to get the UFC legalized in every state. So we could just turn some of those lobbyists to also, you know, try and push this bill through. And it's like, you know, you're not the biggest corporation trying to get this bill through. So, you know, I don't know. It's kind of scary that maybe, like, a situation like this could, you know, make the public think that it's a good idea for these bills to go through. But I hope not. I hope that's people true. Are smarter. I mean,
there are people that will be influenced by it, though, like you just said.
You know, I mean, people watching the news will see Dana White calling Anonymous a terrorist. They won't see all the things that Anonymous does that helps people out or helps society. I mean, they've done a lot of good for society all over the world as far as just getting people, like, linked up for different protests and different movements going on. So, you know, it just the UFC issue is just like a small drop in the bucket, especially for, I think the UFC is smaller fish for Anonymous than Anonymous is for the UFC. I think Anonymous is a huge problem for the UFC, but I think the UFC is just like something they decided to do on a Tuesday and a Wednesday for Anonymous, you know. I don't think they're stressing too much about Dana White and him calling them out. So,
no.
Like, I don't think anybody in Anonymous is staying up late or getting pissed off about Dana White. But I'm pretty sure Dana White and other executives at UFC are pretty pissed about, because a lot of these hacks, like these pictures that I've put up, like this, they were up for. It doesn't seem like things have been getting fixed, and they're like on the registration page for signing up to purchase a UFC pay-per-view on the website, which they just had an event where you could do that. But, you know, whatever. It's their own company, and they can do whatever the fuck they want. But one of the things that you were talking about, they have the UFC app on Xbox. I actually purchased one of the UFC events through their website, like pay-per-view events. Super cool, man. I think it's the same on the Xbox, where if you actually purchase an event, you can choose the camera angle, you can choose the commentary, you can choose, like, between rounds, you can look between corners. Like, you have complete control over, like, what you're looking at and listening to. And in addition to that, there's, like, a little bar, the little scroll bar for the fights. Every time there's a strike or a takedown or something happens in the fight, these little things pop up on the timeline, so you can go back, because all DVR'd, so you can go back and rewatch, like, if a crazy takedown happened, you can go back and it marks the spot where all those things happen. So their player through their website is fucking awesome. But I still agree with you that the pricing is the big downside to what they're doing. Like, if they just made their shit like 10, 15, 20 bucks cheaper, I mean, you're paying pay-per-view prices, and if you're in front of your computer, chances are you're by yourself. So as opposed to, like, if you were to get a pay-per-view in the living room, you can, like, invite a bunch of people over. But I think their pricing is way out of whack. Even if you buy the fights on your cell phone, like, there's a UFC app for the iPhone and I believe Android, it's still, like, $45 for a pay-per-view event.
Oh, my God.
So, and I think that, you know, that's bullshit, but I think some of it may be contracts they have with whoever their distributors are. Maybe it has something to do with pay-per-view, like getting on pay-per-view, like being, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the fine print of the whole reasoning is. I think there might be reasoning, but I also think that the UFC kind of has enough pull to where they could get that price, you know, down a little bit. Because that's the thing you want, man. You want the more people that can experience the UFC, the better you are. Like, a lot of comedians, they do a lot of podcasts and they do a lot of free content. And that's mainly to pump their live events just so they can attract more fans to them. And it's like, you know, the UFC should probably, I don't know, they probably think they don't need to do shit like that. They think it's like
I don't know, it's like the popularity right now is booming too. I don't see why they don't like exploit that situation right now.
Yeah.
Don't get it, man. If only we ran the UFC.
Yeah, no. I think they, you know, as far as their organization and fight-wise and just as an event, as a sporting event, I think they do amazing. They put great fights together, really good production value. I think the thing that they fall short on is, well, one, just kind of getting into, I think any company that supports SOPA should try and stay under the radar. Because being out in public is not helpful for them. I mean, you look what happened with GoDaddy when people found out that, you know, they supported SOPA and, you know, now UFC. So, you know, I don't think to be a fan of that bill or to be a supporter of any of those bills is not very advantageous to let out, because then the internet will find out and they'll make you pay for it.
Crush you.
Yeah. Vivi will crush you.
The internet will crush you.
So I think after all that bullshit, you know, with the UFC and all that and Anonymous, but I think I found the perfect response from Anonymous to Dana White, or at least the perfect response from people that use the internet and care about freedom on the internet, in response to the UFC or just any company that supports a shitty bill like, you know, SOAP or PIP or any bill that would give the government the ability to censor the internet. So this I believe would be the perfect, in my opinion, perfect response.
Look, the people you are after are the people you depend on. We cook your meals, we haul your trash, we connect your calls, we drive your ambulances, we guard you while you sleep. Do not fuck with us.
That's correct. Do not fuck with us.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Fight Club.
Yeah. So anyway, that was some of the crazy, crazy shit that's been going on. Anything strike your fancy this past week, Justin?
Well, as far as the world of gaming is concerned, to get away from the wonderful world of the Wild West of the internet,
mm-hmm.
I saw a video this week about maybe 4 or 5 days ago, actually. It was, name of the video is Battlefield 3 Simulator, is what you type in on Google to watch this video.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's a system they developed. It's somewhere in Europe. I forgot the country, but it's basically a small little projection room that's circular, 360 degrees. The player stands on a omnidirectional treadmill, so he's able to run forward, to the side, backwards, and stay in relatively the same area, mm-hmm. As far as So basically, he can act like he's running, moving backwards. It's basically a simulator for Battlefield 3, the game that just came out for Xbox, that makes it basically so where you're in the game. I mean, there's the walls they project out 360 degrees around you. They show the game, and when you turn around, like, you're turning in the actual game too, you know? So it's all basically... the player has almost like a, you know, the suits the guys wear to do motion capture technology. He has like a suit on kind of like that. So it's kind of tracking his head movements. Of course, his everything up to his finger, pulling the trigger. They make him hold an actual gun in the simulator to where when he fires the trigger of the gun, the actual gun, it fires in the game to where, make a long story short, it's putting you into the game unlike I've never seen before, like to a level of detail that I haven't seen yet. I would fucking love to play a video game like this someday, of course. Yeah. You know, this technology, as far as being for use in the home, we're still a long ways away, but I think this is the closest thing I've seen so far to like what possibly may be the future of gaming. It's the Battlefield 3 simulator is the name of the video again. It's worth checking out. I haven't watched the full-length video of it yet. There's like an 18-minute long version and like a 2-minute long version. I've only watched the trailer so far, but... Yeah, basically, when you get shot in the game, too. Oh, there you go. Nice.
Yeah.
On the video there. When you get shot in the game, also, they shoot paintballs at you. And they're supposed to be hitting you according to where you were getting hit in the game. So it's there's like, a level of fear to it, I would imagine, too, that, you know, you of course, you don't experience playing a console at home on a TV.
Yeah. Well, so did they say at all where this might be implemented? Like, the arcade of the future type of deal,
possibly. Yeah, I mean, they didn't want to talk about that. They're mostly talking about the technology that these guys developed to make this happen, which mostly was the like you're showing on the video right now, the omnidirectional treadmill is one of them.
Yeah,
and also there's the projection room itself was using like the newest state of the art stuff. Like I think like 4K projectors, like really high res.
It's crazy, man.
So. Yeah, that's it. And you can see actually in the video feed you're putting up there, you can see the guns they have set up around in a circle around the player, the paintball guns that react to where you get hit. Insane. I mean, and I think in the trailer the guy says something like, I'm so fucking scared or something like that. I would be too, man.
Yeah, no shit.
But also exhilarated at the same time. I mean, like I said, this is probably the closest thing I've seen to actually getting put into the game itself. You know?
Oh, yeah, so. Totally. Yeah, I know. Just, I mean, I haven't had an Xbox for a while, but when I was playing, like playing, what is it called, Gears of War or Medal of Honor, on my projector, especially when I was in my old place where it was a lot smaller living room, where it was like it was almost like this, but obviously you're not standing up, you don't have a gun, but like. It looked like you were right in there. So I think just having a big screen would be crazy, but having fucking paintball guns on a track set up for that's just, although like looking at this shot that's up on the video right now, like you can see where the little turrets are for the paintball guns. So it's like that kind of would give you a signal. It's like, oh, somebody's going to pop up from over here. Like you see one tracking, you can kind of see where a guy might be shooting you from. I don't know. But that still seemed fucking... That'd be crazy. Like, I'm sure they could do something to where you can't even see the paintball guns. But...
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is the ultimate future of gaming. I think eventually gaming, as far as my prediction goes...
Yeah.
We've all seen Star Trek. As far as the holodeck, you know, just basically a world that gets created around you.
Yeah.
I think that's the future. To where you're not looking at a screen at all. You're like looking, or that's like you're in that environment completely, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I think the future might be. If not, maybe like some kind of mental tap where like they make you see those images in your brain, Matrix. Even, you know? That could be an option too. But I think more the holographic situation is, I think, going to be more feasible in the near future, anyways.
Yeah.
Like so, next, I would say 20 years tops.
Yeah, if that. But yeah,
yeah, exactly. Totally. I would say less. I'd probably say maybe with the way things are going, how it's just taking like generational leaps now, basically, I would say maybe 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, maybe before like the year 2020, even we might see like, you know, because they're already working on the next Xbox and PlayStation right now. And they're supposed to be like 8 times more powerful than the current Xbox and PlayStation 3. So it's just going to keep getting crazier and crazier as far as the level of detail, the realism, and. Mm-hmm. You know, look at projectors nowadays, too. Look at the, you know, the projection mapping stuff I was showing you on Twitter, you know. look how crazy those are getting now too. It's like put them hand in hand, and you know,
for sure. Yeah, it's only gonna go up from here. So I don't know. Like even those glasses, I've bought a pair of those glasses that have the little LCD screens in the eyepieces. Like just having something like that would be crazy, or like that that headset thing that you were talking about that they were showing off at CES. You know, something like that where it just fits over your head. But then even like that could have like a gyroscope and like an altimeter and like all the different sensors that you would need. So the helmet would know if you're kneeling down or step to the right or step to the left or whatever. But yeah, that fucking, who knows where gaming is going to go. I mean, it's compared to where we started, you know, with Nintendo or Atari. Yeah, it's gotten insane to where I think it was Battlefield 3 that had that commercial where they showed in-game footage and real footage, I think.
Yeah.
And then it was like, you know, you decide what's real or whatever. Like the graphics are getting so good, and that's on like older systems too. Because both like 360 and PS3, they've been out for a few years now.
Yeah, it's I don't know. The older I get, the more like I kind of play games less, but I don't think I'll ever stop playing completely because, you know, like mm-hmm. you just mentioned, we come from an age where like the gaming basically started, you know. Yeah. I remember playing, you know, Centipede on the original Atari 2600, you know.
Oh yeah.
I was like maybe 3-4 years old at the time, but you know, going from that to the Nintendo Entertainment System and just how awesome that was. I mean, there's classic games that those people are still playing nowadays. You know, that the whole era of gaming is mm-hmm. still alive and well, too. That's what's awesome is that, like, people pay that era that we grew up in respect as far as gaming is concerned, mm-hmm. you know. But just it's just ingrained in me, you know. It's like I don't think I'll ever stop playing completely. But, like you said, it's just awesome to see how far we've come already and just imagining what could be still. Is just it's a trip, man.
Yeah, for sure.
This I think is a big leap too. I mean, as far as just immersion is concerned, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're always striving for, like trying to make the games more immersive. Because it draws you in. I mean, I don't know, I never super got into video games. Like I'd always been a casual gamer. I'd have like, you know, times where I was really into gaming and times where it's like I didn't even think about it. I think that carried over, and I just, now I have so many other things going on that I don't really think about it. So, I mean, there's a lot of games on my iPhone that I get addicted to, and it's been a while since I've gotten into an iPhone game even, which those are even more casual gaming.
Oh, dude, I got a couple I can recommend then.
Yeah. I don't know, because there's like... Shit. Which ones? Okay, tell me which ones you're talking about.
Jetpack Joyride is one of them. I'm not sure you've heard of that yet, but it's basically got like a jetpack strapped to your back, and you can like buy, you know, power ups and buy different jetpacks. Uh-huh. It's like a side scrolling thing where you have to just avoid obstacles and you have to like fly over shit using your jetpack.
Uh-huh.
If you played the game Cannonball, it's sort of kind of like Cannonball kind uh-huh. of. But there's not like gaps you have to kind of jump over, like, you know, distances you have to jump over. It's like you're flying over shit, you're dodging missiles, but you get like power ups where you're getting like, you know, like a little mech and like run around and like a dragon, even like all kinds of crazy shit.
Uh-huh.
It's addictive as shit though, man. Yep. There you go.
Yep.
There you go on the video there. That's it, man. But yeah, basically the game's free, but how they kind of hook you is, if you want to buy like coin packs to buy shit, uh-huh. those are like $1, you know, and you can buy like a 10,000 fucking coin pack or like 100,000 coin pack for a little more. Addicting though, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know. There's a lot of, I think that's the new thing with games is, and just a lot of things in general, just because there's so many games on the iPhone that they do like these freemium type of thing, like the movie effects app where you take a video and it overlays like special effects over it. But then you could buy other packages. I think that's going to be, I mean, it's already shown to be a huge thing with video games and just buying extra levels or, you know, if you're into any of the Zynga games, like buying credits through there. Or I was at the store the other day. Like I usually, okay, I save cans and bottles and I recycle them. Just a little extra money or whatever. And then usually you get a little receipt and you go into Rouse and you exchange that for money. Usually what I do when I go in there, I buy an Amazon gift card. I don't know why, but I buy a lot of shit on Amazon, so I don't know. I just do it. You go there and you go look at those gift card racks, and Facebook has gift cards. And I have no idea where you would be supposed to use those. Or that was a horrible sentence. I don't.
Where you would be used for be.
Yeah, something like that. But even better sentence. But I don't know why you would need to get a gift card for Facebook. Like, I don't know what, like, where you would need to buy Facebook points or anything. But there's if anybody listening to this, you go to any of those gift card racks at a store or like a 7-Eleven or whatever, I would almost guarantee that you're going to find a Facebook gift card for Facebook points or some shit. And I don't know what the fuck it's for.
I have an idea of what it might be for.
What's that?
A lot of, just like we were talking about with Jetpack Joyride, that, you know, the in-app purchases. There's stuff like that for, I think, like Farmville. And what's the other huge one? Mafia Wars?
Yeah, but those are both like Zynga. Those are both like Zynga apps, and I think Zynga has their own. Unless they switched over now, and you have in Facebook, you have to get Facebook points. Maybe you're right. I don't know. Because there's Zynga gift cards too.
I see. Maybe they all kind of combined into just Facebook points. You know, it's a possibility, anyways.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows, man? It's fucking crazy. And, like, even Pandora, like, I listen to Pandora all the time on my iPhone. They, instead of buying their Pandora One subscription, which used to be a year-long subscription, so you don't get ads and a little bit better quality audio, they have monthly subscriptions now, which I like $3-something a month, that you can buy in the App Store. So now that they're doing a lot more subscription, like with magazines and stuff like that, there's going to be a lot of apps it's everybody's trying to find a new business model. And for some reason, the UFC wants to stick with an old business model and they're complaining that it doesn't work anymore. So I think the UFC needs to look at fucking all these other companies, these new companies that are experimenting with different business models. Like, there was a fucking, if I could subscribe, pay a monthly fee to watch UFC events, like if I could pay a monthly fee or a yearly fee and just every event, whether it's on Fox or pay-per-view or whatever, I can just go to their website and watch it or watch it on the app, I'd fucking do it. Like, even if it costs like a few $100s, like if it was what the NFL package costs, like if you get the NFL package, like $300-$400 usually, right?
Yeah.
Through a cable like company. Like, I would pay that for UFC. Like, I would pay $300-$400 a year just to be able to go to their website and watch every fight live. Or even if it was a day late, I'd still pay it. They need to do some shit like that. Like, that, I would be excited about that. But, you know, I'm not going to hold my breath.
Attention, UFC.
Yeah. Attention. Attention.
I totally agree, man. I totally agree.
Yeah.
That's what it is too. It's like, if they want to curb these people stealing their stuff, it's like, you know, diversify, mm-hmm. make it give it to them, basically put it right in front of their face and be like, hey, here it is, like for a reduced price, whatever. It's like, here's a marketable, a realistic price,
yeah,
for the medium you're watching it on, and here it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's better to like explore new business ideas or, you know, business models rather than complain and whine that your current business model doesn't work in the environment of the internet. Don't change the internet, change your fucking business model, you know? Just like a lot of artists, a lot of people that create content, like the UFC creates content, a lot of musicians and a lot of comedians, a lot of artists that create content have totally explored new mediums. You know, releasing their shit for free. You know, Louis C.K. releasing it himself and just charging $5, you know, a quarter of what you'd spend buying a DVD or a Blu-ray or whatever. You know, there's these people that are creating content are actually mixing it up and exploring new business models, as opposed to just complaining. It's like, oh, you know, the big company that owns me and, you know, takes all my money is fucking me over. And, you know, I'm not like all these people are downloading shit and I'm not getting any money. It was like, maybe change up the way you're doing business, you know? Like somebody, I mean, you go to my website, my portfolio, I'm sure the resolution of my pictures is way too high. You could fucking download that shit and get it printed up and, you know, go to a photo processing center, which people have done. And like people, I don't know why, people have given me like pictures, like photo montages of my artwork in like a multiple frame type thing. And I don't know why they would like give that to me. It's like, it's my artwork. I have the original pieces. Why would you give me prints of it? But they took it just from like, you know, pictures on my website or Facebook or whatever. And it's, you know, it's so technically you can steal my artwork, get a print of it. It's not the original. It's not the actual piece of work. But at the same, I don't give a shit. You know, the more people have my artwork printed, you know, on their wall and know who I am, the better it is for me. Because, you know, at least they'd be fans of what I'm doing. Just like, you know, somebody that can't afford a pay-per-view, you know, steals it or streams it or, you know, goes to a fucking bar where they don't have to pay a cover. Basically, they're watching that shit for free. But sometimes you can't go to a sports bar. Sometimes, you know, however the fuck you're watching it, you're watching that shit for free and you're becoming a fan just from watching the sport. Now, if you limit that, then the word of mouth for that sport is, or the word of mouth for whatever you're trying to put out there, is incredibly diminished, you know? Especially if you're fucking talking shit about the people that are fans of the UFC. So, you know, you're pulling a fucking Metallica. You know, that's just the wrong way to do it. And that sure happened like 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah, well, the bottom line, in my opinion, is, you know, just look at, like you mentioned earlier, the whole iTunes thing. I mean, iTunes, the iTunes music store saved the record industry.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, their method, the method that they spearheaded, the system that they helped develop, works. As far as the marketing your product that way on the internet, it works. It's proven itself multiple times now, with the first example being the iTunes store, that, you know, this business model of marketing yourself online, reducing the price, making it accessible for fans, you know, yeah, take out all the manufacturing costs. Like, you know, for example, CDs, you go and buy them in the store, they're $14. That's why Apple's smart and charging less than that for. And now I'm on iTunes. I think it still should be lower, personally, but at least they're doing it. They have their heart in it, basically.
Yeah.
So it, I don't know. Bottom line is that, you know, the system works, man. And these people, I don't see why, you know, you got the companies like, you know, well, you got entities, I should say, like Hollywood. They're basically trying to wage a war right now on you know, piracy, and they're trying to, like you mentioned earlier, change the internet when they should be changing themselves and marketing themselves to adapt to the internet.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what's going on right now. All these laws and SOPA, PIPA, ACTA, all that is basically the corporations, the people making money or losing money off of their old business models are laying down the line. And they're just like, you know what, this is what it's going to be. We either change the internet or we fall. I mean, it's like, almost like they're like waging, they've already declared war on, mm-hmm, on us, basically.
Yeah.
It's it sucks, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's I could kind of compare it to like the UFC and their issues with the internet, or trying to change the internet, just like humanity and Earth. You know, instead of trying to coexist with Earth, we're constantly trying to change it, you know, deforestation, freaking strip mining, all these kind of things, so we can get out of it what we want, instead of trying to just coexist with Earth and trying to find the best way to where we can get as much out of the planet without destroying it as possible, you know, kind of just finding the proper balance, as opposed to like what the UFC is doing. It's like, instead of trying to find the proper balance with the internet, trying to find the way that the people on the internet can coexist with the internet and UFC, and UFC can still make money. It's like, instead of trying to do that, they're trying to, you know, support these laws that are basically, in my weird comparison way, deforest, you know, cutting down the trees of the internet, you know, totally defacing the internet. and taking away what the amazing part of the internet is, which is complete and utter freedom, you know, freedom of speech, freedom to do what you want. And when you enter into that atmosphere, that, you know, culture, then you risk, you know, what you have in there being dealt with in the internet's own way. And you piss somebody off, you know. I think mentality-wise, I think if Dana White and the UFC had a different mentality, or, you know, at least had the door open to changing their business model, I think the internet and Dana White, or Anonymous and Dana White, would be a good team or work well together. I think, like, just the way they are, the way the way Dana White's personality is, I think is very similar to, like, a hacker, you know? It's like, he says and does whatever the fuck he wants. He doesn't really give a shit about criticism. He does not give a shit about criticism. And I think that's very similar to what the internet does. And it's like, you know, you can talk as much shit as you want, but when it comes down to it, they're going to do whatever the fuck they want to do. So I think those two mentalities, they're both very alpha type mentalities. But I think if the USC had a different viewpoint on what they're trying to do, I think they could utilize, you know, if they were for or against SOPA and all this shit, and they were really, if they really wanted to, you know, come up with the best business plan to help them in the internet space or the internet, like, atmosphere or culture, that they would reach out to, you know, Anonymous, reach out to hackers, like, well, what is the best way we can do this so we're both happy, rather than saying we're just gonna fucking shut you down, what you're doing is terrorism, and you should be shut down because you're all terrorists, and anybody that would want to watch one of our fights for free is a terrorist, and you making it available is terrorism. And instead of demonizing the internet and people doing that, why don't you just, like, reach out, you know, and find out, ask them to help you come up with the best way you can release your product online, you know? But I don't think that's ever going to happen, you know?
It's, you know, what's going on right now is, like I said, kind of like as I mentioned earlier with the whole battlefield or the lines being drawn, it's like, it's almost like the corporations are seeing what they can get away with. They can see how many rights they can actually take away from us, to where they can assume just complete control over the situation. They want complete control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on. That's why you're seeing bills like SOPA and PIPA, because, you know, who's influencing the laws being written most of the time nowadays? Lobbyists. And who are lobbyists paid by? Lobbyists paid off by, you know, big corporations. So the two go hand in hand as far as the situation goes. And that's why, going back to Anonymous, it's good that they're out there, at least for our personal defense against these attacks on our rights, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely nice to know that there's a movement going on, or, like, there's people on both sides, you know, and that, like, the people on the far other side, like the rebellious side, because of the internet and because that opens up, like, instant communication over the world like never before, I think that gives them, like, a huge amount of power, which has never been seen before, and that, like, big organizations are not used to dealing with. Like, they're so happy that for so long they've been able to do the same thing and just ratchet up the amount of control they have over the artists that they supposedly represent, while, you know, little by little taking away, you know, what artists have control over as far as their art. I think it's amazing that there's, you know, another group, even though sometimes they do crazy shit that I don't necessarily agree with, but I like that there's people out there, that there is a voice for the internet, you know, that the internet isn't just this, like, the internet isn't like a telephone, you know, line or a cable line. Like, cable lines are represented by cable companies. You know, telephone lines are, you know, represented by the telecoms. But the internet, as its own, like, entity, has never really had its own voice until, or had its own kind of, you know, backers really until Anonymous, you know, or like 4chan or like any of these like groups that have come from the internet that kind of are able to control this wave of protest or wave of control.
Or protect our you know, our free speech on the internet, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And just basically make it to where we have at least one source of information that doesn't have a corporate spin on it, mm-hmm. you know?
And Dana White needs to get his shit correct because the people stealing the UFCs and streaming them aren't in the U.S. Primarily, they're in, like, you know, U.K. and other countries. So if he's really concerned, then maybe it's not, you know, the U.S. he should be focused on. Although I don't think he should be focused on doing the same thing to other countries, which they might already be doing. But, you know, calling out, you know, his fans in the U.S. saying that they're stealing the UFC. It's like, no, they're not. They're just going to watch at a place where it's free. They're not necessarily distributing it free. So I think just the fact that he said that, he shows that how ignorant he is to the people who are stealing. Like, he doesn't even understand what people are watching or how shitty it is. Like, I, from what I've heard, watching, you know, online stream sports for free is not the ideal way to watch it. Like, any other way is better than watching it for free online. So, and the people that put it up, there's so many advertisements there. Maybe you should talk to the companies that are advertising on those free streams. And maybe those are the companies you should be going to talk to. And maybe they should be aware of where their advertising is being placed. I mean, there's a lot of other ways that Dana White should be, or any of these companies should be really focusing on, rather than criminalizing the people that are ultimately fans of your product.
Agreed. Agreed. It's you know, it just all goes back to the new business model that's already out there that they can copy that they're just choosing not to do. Yeah. So maybe they'll wake up one of these days. I think they will, but it might take a change in perspective at the top. So mm-hmm. who knows?
I think it's just a matter of time. I mean, I think the older the current business owners get and die off, and the more new, fresh CEOs and entrepreneurs come about that have kind of grown up with the internet, I think that will kind of shift the old business model into, you know, closer to extinction and like new, fresh. I mean, you look at all the newer companies, which are mostly internet-based, it's, you know, you see a lot more innovation as far as trying to come up with new ways to do business rather than just the old-fashioned business models that are constantly dying. So yeah, man,
true, we'll see what happens, but yeah, it's a crazy time to be alive, because every, you know, the internet, this whole piracy thing, it's all coming to a head, you know, and it's mm-hmm. just an interesting time to see the back and forth between the two different sides, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just sort of like the Wild West. My teacher called the Wild West the other day in class, and he's just like, you're seeing these laws trying to be passed where there it was lawless before. Mm-hmm. It's sort of relatable to that, you know. Yeah. But it's just like I said, it's just an awesome time to be alive, just to kind of see it all go down, you know, and be alive for, you know, this fundamental shift that we're starting to see more and more as the years go on, you know.
Uh-huh. For sure. Well, as in the Wild West, I'm just gonna say yeehaw.
Howdy.
That's all I got. But I think let's just wrap this shit up, man.
Sounds good.
I think we're good. So make sure everybody listening, tell your friends, and if you haven't yourself, go to iTunes and subscribe to the Inspired Disorder podcast, and rate and comment on the podcast or the show, negative or positive, I don't really care. And then also go to inspireddisorder.com. That's where you can see all of the projects I'm working on, and go to the store at inspireddisorder.com/store, and you can see all the podcast merch, t-shirts, hats, mugs, things like that, as well as merchandise for the website. And I have like 4 or 5 artwork, pieces of artwork that you can buy there as well. And I'm going to add a lot more stuff. I just got done with that this past week. So go to inspireddisorder.com and check out all that shit, and follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/RayTaylor. And, you can check out my buddy Justin at
jkdesigns.co is my site. You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at JustinKing1, capital J, capital K, and the number one. And that's where you can find my art and, you know, follow what I'm doing and everything else. So go ahead and do that if you see fit there.
Awesome. And thanks to Onnit.com for sponsoring another episode of the Inspired Disorder podcast. If you're interested in all-natural supplements, want to try them out, Alpha Brain, Shroom Tech Sport, Shroom Tech Immune, and New Mood, all of which are all-natural supplements to help your mental clarity, your immune system, oxygen intake for working out, and as well as your mood. Go there, and if you are interested in trying any of those out and want to save some money, enter in the coupon code INSPIRED and you will save 10%. And you can also go, if you do go to the inspireddisorder.com store, or you go to etsy.com and you search Inspired Disorder, if you buy any of my paintings, you can enter in the coupon code INSPIRED as well, and you will save 10% off the painting. So if you want to do that, I just started that up. Totally forgot to mention that at the beginning of the show. So go either one of those places, enter in the code, coupon code INSPIRED, and save 10%. And that will be that, and help us out. And as always, thank you for listening. Peace out.
Peace out.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Inspired Disorder podcast. Embedded signals within this podcast have reprogrammed your natural thinking patterns. Side effects may include lack of inhibitions, erectile dysfunction, anal leakage, transcendental communication with beings from 4 of the 7 primary dimensions. In the event of a Terran space-time, please keep your hands down and feet together. Any loss of life or limbs due to interdimensional travel is not the responsibility of this podcast.